Hello and welcome to What Does the Bible Say? I'm your host, Dr. Wayne Davis of Creekside Messianic Fellowship in Jasper, Georgia. If you like what you hear in the Bible study today, there's 10 years worth of Bible studies available free of charge at john14:15.org. Now let's turn to today's Bible study. No longer have mercy on the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. Take them away to where? Captivity. Yet, what does yet mean? We got to read a little more, right? Yet, I will have mercy on the house of Judah. Well, if you lived in the northern kingdom, this is not comfort to you. What God is saying, when the northern kingdom goes, I'm not taking the southern kingdom at the same time. And he didn't. The southern kingdom had 120 years to learn from the Assyrian captivity and turn back to God. How well did they learn the lesson? Well, you know from the fact they went into captivity, they didn't learn it very well. Yet I will have mercy on the house of Judah, will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword or battle, by horses or horsemen. This is why we didn't look at God destroying the 185,000 a few verses ago, because that's exactly what this verse means. That when Assyria tries to conquer Judah too, that God's going to deliver them. He will save them by the Lord their God, it says, and not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, meaning they don't have to use the Judean army to win this battle. God's going to do it by himself. It's recorded for us twice in the scripture. Let's go back to 2 Kings 19 to see the first place it's recorded. 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 35. Are you beginning to get an inkling of why the sages say this Hosea was a really good prophet? Because they can verify from their own text of the Tanakh, the Old Testament, you might say, that these words came to pass. They saw it. So 2 Kings 19, verse 35. Assyria has destroyed every city in the southern kingdom of Judah except Jerusalem. Jerusalem's under siege. Hezekiah cries out to the Lord and literally says, did you hear the words that the Rabshakeh used to blaspheme your name? Because the Rabshakeh, on behalf of the king of Assyria, said, God cannot deliver you. So they blaspheme God to his own face. So verse 35. And it came to pass on a certain night that the angel of the Lord, it should be capitalized, the angel of the Lord. Because whenever you see the angel of the Lord, it's a reference to Messiah. The word angel doesn't mean a cherubim or a seraphim. The word angel means messenger. It could be a seraphim or a cherubim, or it could be a human being, or it can be Messiah. It's one who brings a message from the Lord. And this message is, you done screwed up, son. It came to pass on a certain night that the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when people arose early in the morning, there were the corpses all dead. That was the strength of the Assyrian army. All dead. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went away. Notice he's gone by himself, because where's the rest of his troops? All dead. Returned home and remained at Nineveh, meaning he wasn't coming back to conquer Judah anymore. Now it came to pass as he was worshiping in the temple of Nisroch his god that his sons Adrammelech and Sharezer struck him down with the sword. He escaped in the land of Ararat. Then Esarhaddon his son reigned in his place. This is what Ezekiel 38 in verses we didn't read refer back to, saying, in days of old it was prophesied, I'm going to do this. That is to win the battle of Gog and Magog without the need for the Israeli army. Now go to Isaiah chapter 37, where this incident is recorded again. Isaiah chapter 37, beginning in verse 36. It's the same scenario. Assyria destroyed all the cities in the southern kingdom of Judah except Jerusalem. It's under siege, and Hezekiah cries out to the Lord. Verse 36 says, then the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. When people arose early in the morning, there were the corpses all dead. Now come back to Hosea 1 and let's see again how this was prophesied by Hosea. Verse 7, yet I will have mercy on the house of Judah. It's the same invading army, Assyria, that took the northern kingdom. And the northern kingdom hasn't been heard from since, but will be in the day of the Lord. And will save them by the Lord their God. Who is the angel of the Lord? Who's our Messiah, Yeshua? He is the Lord their God. Says he will save them himself. Just like he did, we read twice. And will not save them by bow, nor by sword or battle. That is, it doesn't take the Israeli army. They don't have to go out and do it and be blessed by God. God does it himself. By horses or by horsemen. Verse 8. Now when she had weaned, lo, Ruhamah, she conceived and bore a son. Then God said, call his name Lo Ammi. Oh, that breaks my heart. Lo means no, we're not. Am is people. The E on the end is my, so not my people. For you are not my people, and I will not be your God. People go, wait a minute, how can that be? Let's turn back to Exodus 19 once more. And what was that little word that we saw in Exodus 19? If. Go back to Exodus 19, verse 5. Exodus 19, verse 5. Yeah. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice. Did they? No. And keep my covenant. Did they? No. Then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. You shall be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Holy, that's the same thing that we see in Revelation 14 as those who have the faith of Messiah or the love of God and keep his commandments. So let's go back to Hosea chapter 1 verse 9. He says, you're not my people because they chose not to be. They chose to worship the idols rather than the Lord our God. What you got, Daniel?
People might read that and jump all over that. God replacing Israel.
Yeah.
You know, with these verses.
Yeah. Really, if you stop here and don't read on.
Right, if you stop there. But it reminds me of Romans chapter 9, where it says, not all Israel are called Israel.
It's not like, all Israel is called Israel.
It all hinges on faith.
Yeah. Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 8. What does it mean when Israel says, we're not going to keep God's commandments, we're going to worship idols, we're going to do what we want to do? Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Messiah himself quotes from Deuteronomy chapter 8. Have you noticed? In Matthew chapter 4, when Satan is tempting him, the very first response he makes to Satan is, it's written. That's Deuteronomy 8:3. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. That's from Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. But we came here for verse 11. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by. The by is, here's what would indicate you have forgotten the Lord your God. By not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today. So when they turn away from God, refuse to follow his commandments, he says, you have what? Forgotten me. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 16. Jeremiah. Yes, ma'am.
While we're turning there, so he's saying that, lo, I'm me, you're not my people. Is he saying that to the northern kingdom or the southern kingdom?
Saying that to the northern kingdom.
Thank you.
Yep. Remember, Hosea is prophesying to the northern kingdom of Israel. In Jeremiah 16, Jeremiah is prophesying the destruction of the southern kingdom, but for the same reasons. So in verse 10, it says, and it shall be when you show this people all these words, that is the coming captivity and judgment, they say to you, why has the Lord pronounced all this great disaster against us? Or what's our iniquity? In other words, what do? We're just worshiping pagan idols and slaughtering children and etc. Or what's our sin that we've committed against the Lord our God? Then you shall say to them, because your fathers have forsaken me, says the Lord. They have walked after other gods and have served them and worshiped them and have forsaken me and not kept my law. And you have done worse than your fathers, for behold, each one follows the dictates of his own evil heart so that no one listens to me. What hurts so much about this is this is 120 years after the northern kingdom went into captivity for the very same thing. And God says, you didn't learn the lesson. I gave you time to understand and repent and turn back to me, and you did worse than they did. That's heartbreaking. So back to Hosea chapter 1, verse 9. Again, as Rachel points out, this is about the northern kingdom. And God said, call his name Lo Ami, for you are not my people, and I will not be your God. Is that a permanent situation? The answer is no. If it was, they wouldn't like Hosea so much. But it's a temporary condition. What will change this? Repentance. So they're called not my people because they chose not to be God's people. They had the promise, if then, and said, nah, we don't want it. We would rather worship the pagan idols because with them comes sexual immorality. We'd rather play with the prostitutes than worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. How many of you think that was a good choice? No. Verse 10, yet. Yet means we're not done. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea. The northern 10 tribes are called the 10 lost tribes. They were dispersed throughout the world. How many nations of people are there that come from those 10 dispersed tribes and don't know it? How many of you sitting out here are from the 10 tribes and you just don't know it? So God's not going to destroy the children of Israel from the northern kingdom. They're going to go into captivity and they're going to multiply like the sand of the sea, which doesn't mean dirty, it means numerous, which cannot be measured or numbered. See, we knew that. And it shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, lo on me. There it shall be said to them, you are sons of the living God. The promise of the future regathering, that the northern kingdom has not been cast off forever. They've been dispersed through the nations. And where did God say he would do that first? In Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 36. Let's go back and look at that. And that's not the only place it tells us that, but the first one that comes to mind. Deuteronomy 28, verse 15. Verses 1 through 14 are, if you love me and keep my commandments. Verse 15 is, and if you don't. Verse 15. Are we there? And it shall come to pass if, there's that little if again, you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. So God told them ahead of time, be obedient, get all these blessings, turn away from me, get all these curses, now choose. And he said, we'll take the curses, thank you very much. Bad move. Now look at verse 36, here's one of the curses. The Lord will bring you and the king whom you set over you. When this is written, Israel doesn't have a king. They won't have a king for more than 400 years. But God knew they would. King whom you set over you to a nation which neither you nor your fathers have known, and there you shall serve other gods, wood and stone. God said, you turn away from me, you turn to idols, and I'll let you worship them, but you're not going to do it in my land. You're going to go do it somewhere else. So let's go back up to the book of Hosea. Verse 10, that yet is, I will not make a full end of Israel. I will scatter them in the nations like I said I would, but I will also regather them as I said I would. For the future regathering, let's look first at Romans chapter 9. Yes, that's in the New Testament. Romans chapter 9, beginning in verse 25, Paul's going to quote from Hosea. And part of Paul's point is, God didn't say he was done with the children of Israel. Don't think he did. He didn't. So verses 25 to 29 in Romans 9 says the following. As he says also in Hosea, I will call them my people who were not my people. That is, they again, they repent, they get restored, they get regathered, they come again under God's protection as his children. And her beloved who was not beloved. It shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there they shall be called sons of the living God. Isaiah also cries out concerning Israel. Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, the remnant will be saved, for he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because the Lord will make a short work upon the earth. And as Isaiah said before, unless the Lord of Sabaoth, what does that mean, Lord of Sabaoth? Means the Lord of hosts. Everywhere in the scripture you see the Lord of hosts, Adonai Sabaoth, that's what that is. Had left us a seed, we would have become like Sodom, we would have been made like Gomorrah. So Paul's point is, God did not ever say he would bring the children of Israel to an end, that he would cast them off forever. Rather, he said, they're going to be a countless multitude, and where they were called Lo Ami, which was in the land of Israel, they're once more going to be called Ami, my people. If the original to Romans was Greek, why do they have to transliterate a Hebrew word? Why didn't they use a Greek word? You're exactly right. Because the original was Hebrew, not Greek.
Well, I guess the Greek word is
Sabaoth. Yeah, I think not. Okay.
I thought for a long time it was Sabbath.
Yeah, a lot of people read that as Lord of the Sabbath, and it's not. It's Adonai Sabaoth. Yeah. Okay, to Zechariah chapter 13. Zechariah chapter 13.
Zechariah what? I'm sorry.
13. Zechariah 13. Notice the verse 1 of Zechariah 13 begins, in that day. So when does it take place? In the day of the Lord. It's an end times prophecy. Verses 8 and 9 take place in the day of the Lord, which is yet future. It shall come to pass in all the land, says the Lord, that two-thirds in it shall be cut off and die, but one-third shall be left in it. I'll bring the one-third through the fire. What's fire a picture of? Judgment. or refine them as silver is refined. You put silver through the fire seven times. How many years to the tribulation period? 7 years. And test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name, and I will answer them. I will say, this is my people, on me, my people. And each one will say, the Lord is my God. So when they repent and turn back to the Lord, he once more takes them as my people. And it says it will be in the same place where he said, lo on me, that he says on me, that is back in the land of Israel. The future regathering. Let's go back to Deuteronomy 30. Surely God didn't promise the regathering back in Deuteronomy 30. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. 28 was the dispersal. 30 is bringing them back. Whenever you run across a pastor who says, God cast off Israel forever, say, now let's read the next chapter. Deuteronomy 30, beginning verse 1, says, now, it's actually just and. It shall come to pass when all these things come upon you. That's all the things from Deuteronomy 28. The blessing and the curse. They got the blessing for obedience. What did they get the curse for? Disobedience. Which I have set before you, and you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God drives you. And you return to the Lord. That word return means to repent and come back to God. And you return to the Lord your God and obey his voice. Shema Bekolo. According to all that I command you today, you and your children with all your heart and with all your soul. That the Lord your God will bring you back from captivity and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. If any of you are driven out to the farthest parts under heaven, that's Jasper, Georgia, by the way, from there the Lord your God will gather you and from there he will bring you. So why isn't the regathering of Israel finished? Why is it just underway? What's God waiting on? All Israel too? Repent and come back to God with their whole heart. When does it happen? It happens in the tribulation period. That's what Zechariah 13:9 was all about. Happens at the battle of Gog and Magog, which is why at the end of Ezekiel 38 it says, then they shall know that I am the Lord. And immediately following that comes the false Messiah setting up an abomination of desolation. And what are the now believing people do? They flee Jerusalem and go to Petra. Yeah. Some people say they don't get saved till the Battle of Armageddon. Well, they obey Yeshua's command to go to Petra. If they were still unbelievers, that wouldn't be the case. Another look at the regathering. Go to Isaiah chapter 11. And there's more. But why does God say in prophets' writings after prophets' writings that these same things are going to happen? He wants us to go read and learn from it, right? Isaiah chapter 11, beginning in verse 11. It shall come to pass in that day. What day? Day of the Lord. So again, it's an end times prophecy. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 11. Have you found it? Good. Shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people who are left. What was the first time? After the Babylonian captivity. Second time? After the Roman diaspora. From Assyria and Egypt, from Pathros and Cush, from Elam and Shinar, from Hamat and the islands of the sea. That's just north, south, east, and west, the four points of the compass, meaning from all over the world. He will set up a banner for the nations. That word banner is nes. Spell it N-E-S. Nes. It's a banner like a rallying banner that the military uses. Back when I was in the military, when that trumpet sounded, we ran to the banner. Our guide on, and we assembled on it. But it doesn't just mean banner. The word nes also means a miracle. So it's a rallying point that is miraculous. And that's our Messiah. Yeshua. N-E-S. Everybody see the dreidel? The letters stand for Nes Gadol Hayasham. A great miracle happened there. That Nes is the same word, Nes.
You know, one of the Lord's names is Adonai Nisi.
One of the Lord's names is Adonai Nisi, which means the Lord my banner. Yep.
Mine, it says Ensign. E-N-S-I-G-N.
Oh, ensign. Okay. Ensign. An ensign is a particular type of flag.
Okay.
Yeah. Like on the naval ships, they used to not have electronic communication, so they would run up the various flags, the various ensigns, to spell out messages like, hey, stop shooting, I'm a friend. Things like that. So he will set up a banner for the nations and will assemble the outcasts of Israel. The nations are the Gentiles. Israel is the northern kingdom, and gathered together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. So who is centering on Messiah here? Who's gathering to him? All the Jews and Gentiles that are believers, whether from the nations, from the northern kingdom, or the southern kingdom. Let's go back to Hosea chapter 1. Verse 11. Then, when? After they repent. Then the children of Judah, that's the southern kingdom, and the children of Israel, that's the northern kingdom, shall be gathered together. So that's what we just read in Isaiah 11. The 10 lost tribes won't be lost anymore. God's going to bring them home. And appoint for themselves one head, that is one king over them all. Who's that king going to be? Our Messiah, Yeshua, you bet. And it shall come up out of the land, for great will be the day of Jezreel, referring to the end of the battle of Armageddon. Let's read about this from Ezekiel's point of view. Go to Ezekiel chapter 37. If you've never studied Ezekiel 37, it's fascinating because you can put dates with various verses in Ezekiel 37. Starting back in the late 19th century, going through 48, 67, etc. But for time, since I have 10 seconds left, we'll do the short version. Starting verse 15. Again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, what's that word saying? It's a quote from the Lord. As for you, son of man, take a stick for yourself and write on it for Judah and the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write on it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, for all the house of Israel, his companions. So those sticks represent the two thrones. Therefore, the two nations, one for the north, one for the south. Verse 17, then join them one to another for yourself into one stick, that is one nation with one king, and they will become one in your hand. Let's go back to Leviticus 25:10. Leviticus 25:10. Leviticus 25:10. You shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you, and each of you shall return to his possession, and each of you shall return to his family. Again, it's a promise not just of restoration back to the land, but actually back to the ancient homelands from which some people have been exiled for over 2,700 years.